sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Dear family and friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ of Georgia, our dearly departed sister in Christ, it is that sentence which gave Georgia the sweet joy by which she lived her life in this vale of tears. The sweet joy that was obvious to those blessed to know her, the sweet joy felt by those blessed to spend time in her presence. Georgia knew that her Redeemer lives. And because Georgia knew the sweet joy of this sweetest of sentences, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks the joy of another very sweet message to you who mourn Georgia's departure this morning. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Our Lord Jesus Christ sets these words before you this morning to bring you joy in the midst of your sorrow. For these words are his sure and certain pledge, his guarantee, his promise that he prepares a place in his Father's house for all who believe in him, for all who know him as their living Redeemer, and that at the appointed time, he does come and take them to be with him, that where he is, they also may be. Our Lord is faithful to his promises. He never lies. He always comes through. And so we can be absolutely certain that this past Thursday morning, he took our beloved Georgia home to the place he had prepared for her in his Father's house, and that she is now with our Lord and all the saints and all the holy angels in heaven, experiencing unknowable bliss, peace, and comfort. What makes us so sure of this is that Georgia confessed her faith in Jesus Christ in word and deed. She was baptized into this faith on November 11, 1952. She was confirmed in this faith on December 15, 1953. She was sustained in this faith throughout her earthly pilgrimage right up to the end by the ongoing reception of our Lord's word delivered via preaching, the liturgy, and the holy sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. And this faith, given to Georgia as a blessed gift from above, was on full display for all to see. I highly doubt that anyone could possibly come to know Georgia without also coming to know that she was a Christian who placed her trust in Jesus Christ. I say this, dear friends, because I want to make vividly clear what Georgia herself would want me to make vividly clear, namely, that she is now in heaven, not because she was a sweet person who lived a good life, but solely because she had faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Georgia would have you hear our Lord's words this morning, exhorting you to believe in him and to know that no one comes to the Father except through him. She would have you know that she was a sinner who needed a Savior. Georgia was quick to point this out to those who would praise her for her kind and gentle demeanor, her sweet and loving heart. I remember a visit I had with her a couple of years ago. As I was getting ready to leave, I hugged her and told her that she was one of the sweetest persons I had ever been blessed to know, to which she responded with that wry smile, "Well, I guess you need to get to know me a little better, Pastor. I am a poor, miserable sinner, as I confessed to you a little bit ago before receiving the Lord's Supper. Weren't you listening?" "Nevertheless," I said, "I'm sticking with my assessment. You are a sweetheart." Which was met by the quick-witted response, "And I'm sticking with mine." I am a poor, miserable sinner. I'm still sticking with my assessment. Georgia was one of the sweetest persons I've ever been blessed to know. But her assessment of herself was right as well. She was a poor, miserable sinner, just like you and me. That's why we commit her body to the ground today. She was infected with the disease of sin, an infection that she inherited upon conception, an infection that she was born with, the same infection every sinful human being inherits upon conception and is born with, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. And that infection leads to death, for as it is written, the wages of sin is death. It seems almost out of place to say this when speaking of someone as sweet as Georgia, but the reality is that she died because she was a sinner. Even as the reality is for all of us, that we will die because we are sinners. The casket at the front of the nave this morning serves as a powerful object lesson for us, a stark reminder of the reality we all face as sinners. But the burning flame of the paschal candle by the casket reminds us of another reality, namely that the death we will all endure because of our sins has lost its sting. For that flame symbolizes the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, made man to live the perfect sinless life we can't live, and to go to the cross to suffer and die in our place, to pay the full price for all of our sins with his holy and precious blood. And we know that our Redeemer was victorious over sin, death, and the devil because he rose from the tomb on the third day. Our Redeemer lives. What sweet joy that sentence gives. Sweet joy because death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has lost its sting for those who believe in Jesus Christ. The one who lived, died, and rose for us declares, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let not your hearts be troubled, dear friends. Georgia believed in Jesus. Even though she has died, she lives on. Not just in our thoughts and memories or in our hearts, and not in some imaginary better place we need to create for ourselves to make her departure from us a little less painful. But her spirit lives on, really lives on, is alive, just as our Lord is alive in heaven, where she rests with all the saints and waits with them and all the holy angels for the day of our Lord's glorious return, when her body, which we commit to the ground today, will be raised, together with all the bodies of all believers, incorruptible and imperishable, to dwell with our Lord in his eternal kingdom, where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more mourning, for there will be no more sin, but only perfect, lasting, eternal peace, comfort, and joy. Eternal life in body and spirit, the way our Lord intended when he first spoke our universe into existence and formed us from the dust of the ground. This is why we don't mourn like those who have no hope. We mourn to be sure. We will certainly miss Georgia. We have and will shed tears over her departure. There's no shame in that. Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus, and it's okay for us to weep over the death of our loved ones and friends too. Thus, when our Lord says, let not your hearts be troubled. He's not saying, don't be sad, don't cry, don't mourn, but rather, don't be sad and cry and mourn like those who have no hope. Georgia is mine. She was gifted with faith to believe in me. She lives. I have taken her to be with me. Believe it and be comforted in your time of sorrow. That would serve as a fine ending to my sermon this morning, and I'm sure Georgia would be thrilled if I ended there. She once told me, when this old ticker of mine finally stops working and I die, please don't blather on about me when you preach at my funeral. Just preach Jesus. But I would be remiss not to mention a few things about our dearly departed sister. And besides, I'm not really violating George's wishes in doing so, since it is only because she was gifted with faith in Jesus that these things are worth mentioning. Things like the fact that she and her husband, Emil, were charter members of our congregation, both of whom served peace actively and faithfully in a variety of ways until each was called home by our Lord. Georgia played an instrumental role in the formation of our Ladies' Guild, which is, I think, the best Ladies' Guild around, and used her time and talents to serve that guild faithfully for as long as her body allowed her to do so. She served as secretary of our congregation for a time, served on the Altar Guild for many years, and remained loyal to this congregation she helped found by the grace of our Lord through the bad times and the good times, which are par for the course in this vale of tears where we are not the church triumphant yet, but the church militant. Georgia loved to serve. She was a certified Braille transcriber and loved to help the blind and those with impaired vision. She was very active in the St. Louis Library over the years, which not only stemmed from her love to serve, but from her great passion for reading. Boy, did Georgia love to read. I love to read too, but I can't hold a candle, a stick, to the way Georgia read. She read the Bible regularly and faithfully, along with Portals of Prayer and other devotional literature daily. But she also always had a stack of books she was reading whenever I visited her. Her love of books and reading continued right up to the end, as she continued to help with the library at the Masonic home, even after she was on oxygen full time. That's one of the things that always impressed me about our dear sister Georgia, that she remained active till the end, helping with the library and delivering mail and in many other ways at the Masonic home. She considered the fact that she was able to do these things even into her late 80s, even after her heart started giving out on her, as a genuine blessing from our Lord and a gift of service to others. And most certainly, she was right on both accounts. Another impressive thing about Georgia was the love that she had for her family. She didn't have children of her own, but she loved and remained close to her nieces and nephews and their families. I doubt I ever had a visit with Georgia when she failed to mention her nieces and nephews and what they and their families were up to. She loved you all very much and greatly appreciated the fact that you stayed in touch with her and checked in on her. As I said, mentioning these things, and many other things could be mentioned, like Georgia's love of knitting, golf, bowling, fishing, camping, and much else, these things are a testimony to the faith Georgia had in her Lord Jesus. For whatever she did it with joy and in service to others. That faith is by far the most impressive testimony that Georgia leaves behind, the most impressive thing I was blessed to behold, and I'm sure many of you would say the same thing. I noticed that faith right away in Georgia, and it was always on full display whenever I was blessed to be in her presence. It is that faith which allowed her to get through the pain and difficulty of having Emil called home by our Lord on Christmas Day in 2004. Well, most of us would probably be pretty distraught to have our loved one called home on Christmas Day. Georgia thought that was the most beautiful, blessed thing in the world. I remember my first visit with her when she was still living in the apartment at Masonic that she and Emil were living in when he died, and how she spoke of his death with full assurance and confidence that he had gone home to the Lord and that she would soon see him again, and how much she was looking forward to that day. And dear friends of Christ, what joy she is experiencing now, having been reunited with Emil and with other family and friends who preceded her in death in the faith of our Lord Jesus. And that, dear friends, is how Georgia would have you view her departure. She has gone home to our Lord. She was ready for this. She knew the day would come, and she was not the least bit afraid of it. She embraced that day and looked forward to it, for she trusted fully in our Lord's promises. These same promises, forgiveness, life, and salvation, our Lord reaches out to you. You are all sinners, all of you, but you have been redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in Him. Cling to Him as your Savior, and I guarantee you that you will see Georgia again. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.